Hey, hey, welcome to Selling with Sandra. My name's Sandra Carter. I'm a commercial real estate agent and I've been in the game for over 20 years. So I want to teach you the habits, the tricks, the tools and the hacks to be exceptionally good at selling in whatever field you're in. I'm here to unlock the secrets of successful selling and share the habits that separate the pros from the rookies. So buckle up because we're about to take your sales game to a whole new level. Whether you're a seasoned pro or you're just getting started, you are in the right place to supercharge your sales skills. Let's dive in, folks. Hey, hey, superstar agents and salespeople. Welcome to episode 55 of Selling with Sandra. Now, this week I want to talk to you about something that happened to me. And you don't often see this too much in real estate because, you know, there's a lot to what you do in a commercial transaction. But what had happened was one of my clients wanted to know how much it was going to cost to re-let his property and proceeded to put the property online with, I want to say, a generic platform that lets you advertise stuff yourself. So it's a bit like the old Purple Bricks. Now, if you've ever heard of Purple Bricks, it was a system that you could sell your own house with. So they would send you the signboard to stick out the front. They would send you, they'd let you put the property online, and then they would send you the contracts to do everything yourself. Now, that's kind of a cool system. If we're not dealing with such a big transaction, like we're talking about probably the biggest asset anybody really owns is their house. So what had happened was I think a lot of people got into trouble because there's a lot more to it than just whacking a sign up at the front, taking a call and saying, you want to buy my property? Here you go. Here's the keys. Happy days. Congratulations. You've just bought yourself a house. There is way more to it than that. So DIYing something, it really depends on the complexity of what you're trying to do. Now, if you're mowing the lawn, like I don't even DIY that sort of stuff. I have a gardener at home because I don't have time, and I actually have a pretty huge garden because I'm on 10 acres and the first 5 acres is garden. So obviously, you know, I have to weigh up what opportunity cost. Is my time better spent mowing the lawn, cleaning my house, or outsourcing those things to somebody else? Now, when you're doing something as complicated as selling or leasing your commercial property or any other process that you think you're going to save money or have a shortcut with, you're running into scary, dangerous territory. So back to what happened to me. My clients told me that he's going to advertise online, take anything I've got on there off, and he's going to do it himself, which he has. He's pretty much copied what I had online anyway. And so I thought I would run through the process and just find out how much it costs. And I think the basic base model just to do one or two ads was about $800. Now, we pay a subscription to the same platform, so I don't on-charge my clients advertising for a basic listing. That's all included in our fees. So it's a lot of money to have the listing put online in the first place. And it made me wonder what's going to happen during the process, because the landlord doesn't actually live in the same state as the property. So unless he's got somebody showing somebody through, then again, it's not going to be an agent because he doesn't want the agent involved. It's going to be someone who hasn't done this before. How are they going to judge? There's a lot to be said for the experience that you gain in your particular industry where you can actually read people very well. I've been doing leasing for a long time, so pretty much as soon as somebody gets out of the car, I can tell if they're going to be a good tenant or not. So, but it's like a learned instinct, and you've got to be doing it for a while to sort the wheat out from the chaff, without being too judgy. And you really shouldn't judge a book by its cover because you don't know, but you do get a gut feel for these things. So that's been taken out of play for the inspection. So I'm curious to see how this whole thing will end, because there's other things involved too. There's, you know, when you're when you've got the expertise, you just know how the process works. And you know, I just really wanted to do a podcast about what you need to do when you're up against this type of thing, up against the DIYers, because you want to let people know. And honestly, I haven't had this conversation with my client because I want to run the gauntlet and tell you how it ends. But let's just start from the beginning. So this, if I was going to have a conversation with him, it would be something along the lines of, here's the reasons why you shouldn't DIY and why you should engage a professional for a particular type of service, whether it be for mowing your lawn, cleaning your house, doing the legal work, leasing or selling a property, anything that somebody specializes in is making a living out of. If you are doing something else, you have to work out, is it worth your time not to outsource and do it yourself? So this podcast can be taken from two different angles. It's a way for you to talk to your clients about how important your services are as well, and how to justify why people should use you if you're an agent or a lawyer or a cleaner or a gardener or what anything, any one of those specialized services that you, the services that you're offering. If you're a dog washer, I don't care. It's a good way to convince people about why they should use your services. And I had to, I mean, it hasn't happened to me very often, obviously, because if people are DIYing, I'm not dealing with them in the first place. But when it's somebody you've dealt with before and then they decide to do this, it can be a bit hurty. It's a bit of an insult, really, because they're kind of saying that you can be replaced by a platform that they can pay $850 for online. Now, what do we need to tell them? We need to tell them no, we can't be replaced because of certain things. So I'm going to run through those things. So the first thing is the expertise involved. So particularly if it's a lawyer or a commercial agent, you know, there's particular fields of knowledge that we have that we allow us to navigate through the actual negotiation process, through the transactions, and through the legal intricacies of what we're trying to achieve. So if you're DIYing it, you're not going to have had that experience, and you're not going to have the toolkit to actually solve the problems that we're trying to solve and get to the end solutions. And the second thing is market insight. Like we spend our days looking at what the market's doing, day in, day out. We're looking at market data. We're looking at what's actually happening out there in the field. So we know exactly where things need to be. So unless you've got the time to do that, unless you're actually focusing on that, maybe you're retired and you do, and that's all fine and you want to DIY. But if you're busy doing something else, then you probably haven't spent the same amount of time as the person who's an expert in that field, finding out what's going on in the industry, where things actually need to be. The other thing is the negotiation skills involved. So, you know, again, that's what we do. We solve problems all day long, and we are the whole dance of bringing the buyer and the seller together, or the buyer, the landlord and the tenant together. You know, there's a process to that. And unless you're experienced in that, it's actually quite hard to do. It's not something that is, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And that's why I say it's the hardest hard work and the easiest easy work, because we get paid the big bucks, right, to do the deals, but it's the dance beforehand that is the hard work. And I always find the smaller the property, the more work involved in getting it closed, because often you're dealing with a startup business, somebody that's not what I would consider a sophisticated party. So there may be challenges in explaining how the process works, and they might get a rude shock when they find out that they have to pay 3 months bond and a month in advance, you know, when they're comparing it to renting a residential property, and it's just such a different animal. So you have to hold people's hand through the process. If you're dealing with a corporate, they've probably got 30 properties they're renting, and it's just another property, and it's, you know, the only thing you're dealing with is a board decision. So there's a lot to it that if you're trying to DIY this process, it's going to be a headache. Absolutely. We've done it before. Again, we've got the tools in the toolbox. Let us do our thing. And it's our job to get a favorable outcome for everybody. Like the best days for me are when deals come together and it's a win-win for everybody. It's actually a win-win-win because it's a win for me, it's a win for the landlord, and it's a win for the tenant. Everybody's getting what they want, and we've found that middle ground. And that's the hard place to get to if you don't have the experience on how to get there. Now, there's legal compliances that we deal with all the time that, you know, particularly if you're a lawyer, you'll understand this stuff, but dealing with a tenant's particular use or even a buyer's particular use on a property, there'll be regulations that govern what can and cannot be done with that particular property. And this is across the board for any industry you're in. There'll be things you can, things you can't do. Queensland's a bit of a nanny state, can't do a lot of stuff, have to ask permission to do everything. Often it's better to ask for forgiveness. I didn't say that out loud. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for mitigating the risk of costly legal disputes that could pop up later because you didn't know or you haven't done your homework. But we are paid to know this stuff, and we are paid to navigate our way through it and deal with the body corporates and deal with any issues that may arise before the deal is done. Now, the fifth thing is access to networks. When you've got a property that this is for commercial real estate or real estate in general, if you've got a property that you need to have leased, listed, sold, your agent's going to have a pool of people they can already go back to and probably save a bit of time and get you to start negotiating and doing the process with people that they know are looking for that product. You're not going to have that at your fingertips. So we've got access to networks with the contacts. This will often fast track the process. So it's definitely beneficial to use somebody in that capacity, professional capacity, because they're going to have these databases at their fingertips. Now, risk management. Again, this is somewhere where you want to make sure that, you know, you've checked out your potential tenant or even the buyer. Do you know what blows my mind is that I often see agents not checking out the identification of who they're dealing with. I always ask for photo ID back and front of a tenant, and often, if I don't have enough proof for a purchaser, I'll ask for their driver's license, because you don't know who you're dealing with. I heard a story about a lady who entered into a contract and signed the contract to purchase a property under a false name. Now, how easy is that to do? You want to make sure whoever you're dealing with is actually the person whose name is on the contract or the lease. So there's certain types of risk management like that if you're DIYing it, you may not think of that stuff, because, you know, it's, again, big ticket items. We want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence, and there's certain things we can check. When I do a lease, I make sure I've done a company search. I've got all of these tools at my fingertips. Company search to find out who the directors are. I do a court search to make sure the tenants haven't been in court lately. I check out their ID. I ask for copies of their ID. I do credit checks. There's all these tools I have at my fingertips. I don't have to go and pay for it because I pay for the subscriptions. I find out where they live, the name of their firstborn child, their blood types. I don't really, but it's almost that thorough. So if you're DIYing it, there's, you know, any risk to your property is going to come from a lack of due diligence, whereas we know what to do. At the end of the day, it's going to be really hard to get money out of somebody who doesn't exist because they've given you a fake name, fake phone number, fake ABN, etc. So number seven, I think we're up to number seven, documentation and paperwork. We have all of those documents you need at our fingertips again. So whether it's contracts, whether it's leases, and it's clauses and things that, you know, you can pay a solicitor to do those things too. If the lease is less than a three-year lease with a three-year option, we can do those things in-house. So again, those types of things are incorporated into the fees. So you can save yourself some money. You can also get the solicitors to do the leases. But once again, if you want to get a start on it, you need a heads of agreement that's put together by somebody who knows what they're doing to send over to the solicitors to start the process. Because otherwise, it's just you talking to the solicitor, trying to get the documentation done, whereas we have a particular system in play to make that happen smoothly and that they've got all the information to create the lease documents. Number eight, objective advice. Look, often it's really good to have a professional involved when you're trying to do something complicated and as a buffer between you and the person you're doing the deal with. So between the landlord and the tenant, it's good to have the agent to go back and play good cop, bad cop, somebody to be a sounding board, someone to say, hey, and look, we do have to be on both sides of the fence. I know we're working for the vendor, we're working for the landlord at the end of the day, but you're playing the advocate, so you need to be going back and forth and making sure that everybody's on the same page. And it's often harder if you're dealing directly to actually get your point across without offending somebody. At least you can say what you want to say, get it to the agent. The agent can often, because this is what I do all the time, I'll get an email from a landlord and they want to go guns blazing and they've got their point and there'll be like a list of things they hate and love and don't want to do and will do. And you have to soften the blow before you pass that information on to the tenant to say, hey, we've got a deal done, except we need to do this, this, and this. And you often, more often than not, 95% of the time, it's reworded in such a way that it's not, we're the sounding board. We take the hit with the punching bags and then we repackage it up and then deliver it in a way that's not offensive. Because it's not, I'm not saying the landlords can be offensive, but sometimes the way it's written, you know it's going to be a deal breaker unless you package it up nicely and put a bow on it. So it lets you be that person in the middle that's going to help the deal get across the line by making sure it's all softly, softly. You can say the same thing, and often it's not what you say or what you write, it's the way you say it. So we make it nicer and get the deal to go along and everybody's happy rather than, you know, having this back and forth where there may be a misunderstanding. And there's no, if you have no agent in the middle and there's no buffer zone to soften that down. Also, if your client's wondering why it's a good idea to use a professional, use an agent, it builds long-term relationships that give you a direct tap into the industry. So it not only does it maximize your return on investments because you've done things the right way and it minimizes the legal risks, but it also, you're building a relationship with somebody who has their finger on the pulse in the industry. And if you ever need any information, you're not going to be that guy that the agents all go, oh, he's a DIYer. That guy goes and does his own thing, because when you call and need something, they know they're not going to be engaged. The services are not going to be used. You're just trying to find out information from them. But if you're actually using a professional in a professional capacity to do the job properly, you're going to have access to that particular industry. And that is like gold, because there's going to be a time where you're going to need to have that resource at your fingertips. But if you're a DIYer, people won't touch you with a 10-foot pole. And that's just a fact. That's just the way that the world works, unfortunately. Now, number 10, last but not least, and my absolute favorite one, it's time saving. Clearly, somebody who is a property owner, landlord or a vendor, or somebody who's in working in another particular industry and they're using the services and want to DIY, that person's a professional in their own capacity. If they feel that they have the nous to go ahead and DIY, so clearly they're busy doing something else. We spend all of our days doing property stuff. You should be doing what you do best. And that's what I say. Like, hand it over to me. You don't have time to think about your property. Just go and do what you do best and leave this to the experts, because time is money. Go and make the more money doing what you do best and let me do what I do. So I feel like this podcast kind of swung back and forth between what you should say to your client about using a professional service and why you should actually use a professional service. So I do apologize, but I think the point is pretty clear. It comes down to time, it comes down to risk, and it comes down to professionalism. And so if you want to make sure that the job is done properly, use a professional. And if you're trying to convince someone why they should use a professional, listen to this podcast or make them listen to it. There's so many good reasons. Again, professional gardener, professional cleaner, professional lawyer, professional agent, it doesn't matter. But there's people have particular skill sets. Oh, look, let me use the gardening for example. My gardener turns up with a trailer full of stuff. I don't even know what that stuff is. But he can spray, weed, snip, clip, fix, mend, do everything he, because he's got the toolbox. And as agents, we have the toolbox as well. And lawyers have a toolbox as well. And the cleaner has a toolbox as well. So, you know, we don't all have time to have a toolbox for everything. So your time is precious and you need to focus on what you're good at and leave the rest to the experts. So that's it. That's a wrap. My name's Sandra Carter. I'm a commercial agent. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn and Facebook. And my website is only-commercial.com.au. Or you can go to my other website, Selling with Sandra, and my course will be released on there shortly. I have had someone approach me about my course again, and I'm like, it's ready to go. It'll be live soon. And you can get a copy of my ebook, Investing in Commercial Real Estate, A Beginner's Guide. There is a link on my website at only-commercial.com.au, and my hashtag, too much information and I do apologize, is hashtag selling with Sandra. So please follow me, please connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a hello. I'd love to hear from you. If you're looking at getting in the industry, love to help you out. And yeah, that's a wrap. Keep selling hard, smash that glass ceiling, and don't forget, tell people they need to use a professional like yourselves, and there's a million, there's actually 10 really good reasons why. So have a good day. Till next time.